Welcome to Conversations with Spirit, where we dive deep into the mystical and enchanting realms of spirituality. I'm your host, spiritual medium Lori Albert, and together with special guests, we explore a world of spiritual insights and experiences, as well as offer captivating mediumship and oracle card readings. Tune in for enlightening conversations that will uplift your soul and expand your consciousness. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with Spirit. Thanks for being here. I'm so happy to have everyone here. I am so excited. Get ready for a fun hour because we like to laugh. We like to giggle. I have an incredible guest with me tonight. So basically what I want to say about her is Mary Madsen Heskin, and she is a holistic therapist, Yasui Reiki master, teacher, and practitioner. She is an intuitive life coach and student shamanic practitioner. She does it all, right? She provides online and in-person integrative services, leaning into the intuitive side of care and blending strategies from psychology, coaching, energy work, and ancient earth and nature practices. Oh my gosh, right? She supports women on their journey of healing, personal growth, and transformation. Now, seriously, you're like, Mary, you're everything I want to be. So welcome to the show.
thanks, Lori. Thank you for having me.
Thanks
for being here. You're already probably embodying most of this, though.
You know what, though? I can't even tell you how excited I am to have someone like you who really, really pays attention to empowering women. You know, I think that, and it's not like we don't like our men, of course, you know, but there's something about empowering women that is like, it's going to sound strange, but it's kind of like a buzzword right now. I think it's really important. I mean, do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, my first job out of grad school, I remember I was interviewing and the person that was interviewing me said, you know, I had no experience yet, right? And he said, you know, I don't think that you'd be a good fit for this job, but I'd really like to interview for my personal assistant. And I was like, I just finished getting my master's. I just got my license. No. And I thought, wow, this is my first like step into the working world. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be bumpy for me because I am not going to go lightly through this. So that sort of got, I feel like my eyes immediately opened when I thought, okay, this is going to be how it is in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I primarily worked with men when I was first, I worked in substance abuse when I was first out of grad school. And the majority of our clients were men, but all the women that came through all had the same story. And I thought, we've got to do more to support each other and to lift each other up than we were doing. And this is going back, you know, 25 years. But I feel like it's something that's still resonating. And I feel like it's something that we still all need to collectively do, especially as we're sort of moving away, hopefully sooner than later, away from toxic masculinity and really, you know, embracing that divine feminine and that sacred masculine. So yeah I'm all about that.
Wow. And you know what? It's almost like, okay, this might sound really jaded of me, but it's almost like that's sort of like a taboo topic in a sense. Do you think that, or is that just me? Like, I get worried to talk about stuff like that. You know,
about empowering other women
because I worry about alienating anybody, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. Does that even make sense?
It does. Cause I think sometimes people feel like if I'm supporting one, that must mean I'm against the other, right? We sort of saw this with some protests a few years back and that's really not what it is, but it is, if I need to be a voice and an advocate for anybody, I first need to be an advocate for myself. right? I
Yeah.
need to give myself voice. And for women historically, or at least in my existence, I think we can look at the history books and agree that it's been quite some time, have not had voice. And
Yeah.
so I feel like, it's okay. And the people that get their feathers ruffled, or the people that maybe don't feel passionately about it, it's okay. Like they don't have to listen to what I have to say or come work with me, right?
Sure.
But it's really the message isn't for them anyways, right? The
Right.
message is for the women that are ready to hear that. So
Yeah.
yeah, I think it can get a little touchy, but it's all right.
Right. Yeah. No. And you know what? I love the way you just said that because it can be, you can do different things without alienating anybody. I mean, really. And you can like
Truly.
your truth and not alienate anybody, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like it's more about the other person's issue than
Yeah.
what I'm trying to do, right? And so
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, your insecurity showing. So
Yeah, right.
I sort
That's
of
true.
bypass it, yeah, that way. But
Yeah.
I feel like in some, even with some women though, it can be a little hot button.
Yeah.
That feel like, oh, the F word feminist is like so
Yeah.
offensive to some people. So,
Yeah. So, how did you get into, I mean, you do so much. Like, I mean, seriously, you're a holistic therapist, you're a Reiki master, teacher, and practitioner. I mean, you're an intuitive life coach. Oh my gosh. And then adding the shamanic aspect to that. Oh my gosh, how did you get into all of this? This is like amazing.
Aw,
I want to
thanks.
be
Yeah,
you.
I think it's just I think it's just my natural evolution, right? Because when I was a kid, I knew I wanted to go into a helping profession, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought nursing, and I volunteered at a hospital and saw blood and was like, this is not for me. And then I thought teacher, I like teaching, but I thought that's not the place for me either. And I kind of morphed my way in. I thought I was going to be in research, actually, research psychology. I didn't think I was going to actually be doing counseling. But something kind of changed and sort of opened my eyes to, yeah, maybe this is my path. And so I went into counseling just because I felt that calling, like most people do, into their careers at the beginning. I knew that I had a passion for wanting to help people, support people, and I wanted to help people kind of reduce their suffering, simply. Hopefully there was a healing aspect of that. And I stumbled into everything else. I feel like that was my only intentional step with my career. I ended up, I didn't even know what Reiki was when I got my first Reiki session. I think if
Oh my God.
somebody, yeah, if he would have told me what it was, I probably would have been like, this is crazy. I don't want any part of this voodoo. and it was such a powerful experience that I thought, I might need to start looking into this. I always wanted to see like research on stuff. I wanted the data on stuff. And this was something that took me completely into my body. And I had experiences that I wasn't able to quite explain. And that sort of just opened it up for me that I don't need the data to know that this is something that's pretty powerful. And it just sort of evolved from there with everything else. Yeah.
So Reiki just kind of fell in your lap, and that was
Yeah.
that like the first thing that happened, and then it just kind of things took.
Yeah.
Reiki was your first sort of what's the word?
Like energy experience,
Energy,
I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. I had a few years prior to that, I had been at Rutgers. I was taking a training at Rutgers and I had a migraine. And we were there all week, and I was frustrated and I was just feeling miserable. And my colleague, it was there for alcohol and drug studies, my colleague was telling me that there was men doing acupuncture in the ear to help people with opiate addictions to reduce the cravings. And she said, go see if that can help with pain. And I was like, oh, that's crazy, right? I thought that was acupuncture. I thought it was crazy. So I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And the crowd kind of heard my friend and they kind of were like, go up there, right? Until we got his attention and I went on stage and they did Reiki in my ears and I was so embarrassed and I was so frustrated. And lo and behold, like the pain went away. I didn't have the residual pain that I had the next day. I didn't feel hungover from medication. And I started thinking, like, what is this energy stuff? And so I think that sort of opened me up to maybe something else coming into my life. And then a couple of years later, it was Reiki. I was struggling with, I have Hashimoto's, I have a thyroid issue, and I was really just frustrated with like the medication's not doing it. I mean, the doctors would say like, "No, you're in, you're where you should be, right? Your levels are where they should be." And I'd be like, "But I still feel like crap." And so, it was just me feeling frustrated and venting, and somebody saying, "I know a way that can bring you back into your body to do your own healing." And I was like, "I don't know what that is. I don't know what you mean. I take a pill, right?" No. And so I started going to him. I was feeling really good about Reiki and the possibilities of just being able to go in to my within myself to do a little bit of healing. And I didn't think I was ever going to I had no inclination. Well, I didn't think I was ever going to get trained in it. I just thought it was something I could experience. And I think one day he was kind of like, maybe I should train you. And so I did level one and level two. And I was like, I don't want to be a teacher. I'm not going to do level three. And he was like, totally fine. Good. Don't. And about a year, 2 years later, I was like, yeah, I wanted to become a teacher. So it's just kind of funny how things kind of fall into place. And when we're open to the possibility of something good coming into our lives, that's when it appears.
And
So
that's so interesting because that's exactly what I was thinking throughout your story, because you were open, you allowed yourself to be open to a possibility, whatever that looked like, you know? And I find that to be so fascinating because, and that's such a great lesson for everybody listening right now, you know? Because if we just open our hearts up to what is possible for ourselves, you never know what's going to come your way that could change your whole life, you know? I mean, I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
So, how many years did it take for you to do all of to get to that point?
That was probably 5 years because I finished the Reiki Master training in 2015. So yeah, and that sort of was exciting. That's when I started integrating Reiki into my practice, my private practice. So at that point, I'd already left working for agencies. I'd worked for agencies for like 12 years, and then I'd opened my private practice because I wanted to do it my own way, I guess. So I started integrating it into that, and it felt like there was a beat. There was like a beat within me that was getting louder and stronger for getting back to earth practices. And it just sort of it started very small, and then I thought step by step, I'm gonna learn a little bit more, a little bit more. I felt like if people thought Reiki, back when I got trained, I think a lot of people were like, never heard of it. It sounds very strange. And I was that way 5 years prior. So, all right. And I thought, oh man, I'm not going to tell people that I get messages from animals or that, I want to know about, the ways of the directions and really honoring Earth. And so I thought that'll take some time. That'll take some time before I come out of that one.
So I really wanted to ask you because this is kind of like the, I don't want to say the latest thing, but to me, what I love about one of your little titles, you know, because I've got all these little titles, you know, and it's like there's so many things that we do, and it's hard to like get it, you know, there's not one word that describes it all, right? So I love that, you know. But one of the things you talk about, you're an intuitive life coach, and I love that. You know, I do empowerment coaching, which I termed, and it's a
Love it.
spiritual, it's like spiritual life coaching, you know, but it's in different realm. But so intuitive life coaching, tell us about that and how you got involved in that, because I really think a lot of people would really benefit from that because it seems like it's and you tell me if I'm wrong, I'm totally open to being wrong, right? But it seems like it's like another layer to life coaching.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of funny. I mean, hopefully nobody from the insurance industry is listening to this, because I will say I feel really restricted by what I can do with my license and what the insurance will provide coverage for.
Right.
And I can't do just a Reiki session, even though that's what a client might be needing. I can't just sit and meditate with them for an hour, even though that might be what they're needing. I can't walk in nature with them, even though that might be what they're needing. And so I thought, how can I kind of move around this and be able to integrate everything that I do into one thing? And I really didn't like the word or the phrase, I guess, life coach. I just felt like, oh, it just misses the mark a little bit. And so I thought, what can I put out there that will sort of, I don't know, alert people? Because I had played around with maybe doing spiritual life coaching, and I had got a bunch of people that were wanting to go on like a religious quest or something. And I was like, oh, that's not me. That's not my thing. That's great if that's what you want, but that's not really me. I like that. The intuitive part sort of let people know that we would be probably talking more about, I hate to say woo, but more of the woo part of the life coaching, right? Like, I don't even know how to describe it. But one of the things with all the time that I've worked with women, and this is something that I feel is part of that empowerment to heal and to grow and to transform, is to not only to tap into my intuition when I'm working with a client, but teach them how to tap into their intuition. So they're making the best choices for themselves. So they really feel empowered again to make those choices that really open up their world for them. So it's a blending of everything that I do. It's all the different strategies and tools that I've learned, the stuff that I use in my own personal life. But it has that intuitive side. So maybe we'll pull a card if we're not, you know, sure what the next step is, and we'll talk about the card, or maybe I'll have them really go within and tap into what is their body telling them, you know, is this the right choice or not, right? So that's the piece that I sort of added that. If I could get rid of life, I don't think you can. Intuitive coach, I don't know. So I'm still playing around with the wording, because I haven't quite gotten it yet.
Well, because it feels like it's, I mean, this might be like rather ignorant of me, but it seems like it's a brand new type of coaching. I mean, it seems brand new. It doesn't seem like it doesn't fit in any of the little boxes, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And that's been my struggle, is I'm not really sure where I fit.
Yeah.
Honestly. Right. Right. Because I'm not really sure. And so, I have seen other people do intuitive life coaching or intuitive guidance. I see a lot. I think I have that on a couple of my things too. And it's like playing around with those words that just feel like it encompasses it. I haven't quite found it yet, but I do feel like I'm seeing it more, which is kind of exciting to see that other people are doing the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. So I have, so you guys, just so you all know, we're going to take some questions in a few minutes, but you can always type them in. I believe I will see them. Yeah. So if you have any questions, you can type it in. Okay. So that being said, what are some ways, like one of the things that you talk about in your bios, you talk about like personal growth and transformation, and kind of, and you mentioned a minute ago to like help people, you like to help people, which I love to do too, right? Help people find that strength from within and utilize it, you know, for their lives, right?
Yeah.
So is there any sort of helpful hints that you can give to people that might help them start their own personal we can call it spiritual journey or their own journey of self-discovery. Like, what is a way that people can get started in that?
Yeah, I think it's really, I know people get frustrated when I'm like, go back to the basics. But I think that it's so important just to have a foundation of like, where can you go back to? And I think when for me, at least, I feel like when I started doing more consistent meditation, I was able to kind of quiet the fear thoughts, the negativity, the judgment, the criticism, and I was able to tune a little bit deeper into my inner voice. And I really didn't understand. I was raised a totally different way with a religion that was basically like, you should not be tapping directly into spirit. You should be, you know, going through a man to get up there. But, you know, I think that really helped me. And so if people can start a practice of meditation, and even if they're like, I can't sit still, or I can't, you know, quiet my mind, go for a walk in nature. Like, that's really huge. It doesn't have to be like hours of meditation. It can be like 3 to 5 minutes of meditation. And then just build on it
as all the time. Yes. I love that.
Oh, it's so important. And I mean, it's not like I started out. I started out just doing it very sporadically. And then actually back in 2010-ish, I think, I started doing it a little bit more consistently. And then I was like, I want to get serious. I actually wanted to get trained in meditation. So I went and saw a meditation instructor for a while. And she really got me into the habit of like 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening. That is, you have to build to that. Believe me, you have to build to that. So whatever you can start with, but I think finding the time to have quiet. So even if it's not meditation, having maybe a practice of like journaling, writing stuff down, things that you noticed, you know, ideas that kind of pop into your head that you're like, I don't even know where that came from. Write that down, because that's either a message from your inner knowing, or you would say Lori spirit, you're getting a message somehow. And so I feel like those are really good practices to start, because you have to start building. If you don't have trust within, you have to start building that. And I think, you know, we have to get through whatever wonkiness we have with like worth, value, unconditional love. We have to make sure it's a level playing field for us, that we believe those things to be true. We can trust ourselves, that we're safe with ourselves. And then we can start, you know, building on that. I think that's when the meditation helps. That's when the journaling helps. And just taking note. The other thing, and I always tell people this and they're like, what? I'll give you two other things that I think are helpful. Paying attention to your dreams, either having a dream journal or just sort of noting what comes up for you, because messages come through, obviously, during your dream time. Your brain doesn't shut down. So it's trying to work through all of the troubles, all the struggles you're having during your waking hours. So writing those things down, I think, is really helpful. And for me, noticing the animals that come, noticing whatever happens outside, if you're connected to nature, those messages that come through just for you. So even if you're like, I don't know why I keep seeing mallards, well, go look, go get a book and see, what does mallard mean? Why is a mallard showing up for me now? What is that message I need to know? And the more you practice that, it's like anything, right? You just kind of flex that muscle and it gets stronger. So those are, I mean, just basic stuff.
That's so amazing. And I want to ask you a question about that. How did you start incorporating animals into your practice? Like, how did that come about? Because like, you mentioned it before, and I was like, oh, that is so cool. So yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I was always, like most kids, right, we're drawn to animals. And I felt like, and I had no data to back it up, but I felt like the animals were either there for messages, or were telling me something, or were keeping me company. It just, it felt like there was some sort of connection that I couldn't maybe necessarily hear with my ears, or, you know.
You're Snow White.
What's that? No. You're Snow White. No, no, because I don't think I could communicate to them, but, you know. It sort of faded until I went, you know, that was like me as a little kid. I went to college and I met this girl, and we were talking about, her family was, I'm not going to remember. I think Cree, I want to say, I can't remember. But she was in from her family had indigenous lineage, and she was, we were talking about, totems, animal totems. And she said, what are your animal totems? What? I don't know. And she's like, well, what animal do you see a lot? And at that time, I was 6 hours away from home, and I would drive down, and it was sort of boring. It was a boring drive. And I would see a lot of red-tailed hawks. And I said, you know, and she said, what do you think when you see them? And I said, oh, I feel safe. I feel safe when I see them. I feel like they're watching me. Because, you know, they're on like posts or they're on like light poles or something. And she was like, yeah, they're probably on your totem. And so I was like, oh, interesting. And so starting from college, I would see like what animals kind of were coming up for me. And I sort of put a pause in that until we moved down to this area about 8 years ago, when I was just looking out my back window and I saw a bird that I'd never seen before. So I got a book out and I was like, what is this? Why is he here? And it just sort of spurred like my interest in animals again and paying attention to when they came into my life. And it was sort of just another way of tapping into intuition. It was another way of feeling connected, obviously, to nature. It was another way of just feeling like there's more than what I'm just seeing. There's more than what I'm just able to hear. You know, when I go back to that place of feeling, what do I feel? There's so many more messages that come through. And so that's kind of where it started. And I just can't tell you how many animals just cross my path or come into my life. You know, when I started the shamanic, when I was starting the shamanic, studenting. I don't even know what the word is when I was learning about
Studying? I don't know.
Because we were doing, right? We were being, we were becoming. I was telling the woman that I was working with, my mentor, that we have a river. It's probably a couple miles away from our house, and there's eagles that are there all the time, you know, all year round.
That's beautiful.
And yeah, and so I would see them at work where I was, where my office was, and I would see them on vacation, and I would see them no matter where I went, there would be the eagles. And she and I were talking about like how do we know when it's that next step further into the shamanic practitioner. And I was like, I don't know. And so I told her, I went to my backyard and I said, if this is what I meant to do, if this is the next step for me, I want to see a sign. You know, show me the sign that this is the right thing for me to do. And I kid you not, my husband was like, is that an eagle in our backyard? So the eagle had flown from the river all the way out to our house. And I mean, obviously not to our house, but you know, flying where we could see him. And then he just disappeared. And I was like,
Oh my gosh.
yeah.
Well, if you
So,
didn't think that was a sign, I mean, like, yeah. But see, that's what I love about you. You're so open, you know? I mean, you're open to all of the ideas of whatever it could be, you know? Wow, that's amazing. So I want to know if anybody wants to type in the chat, what animals do you guys see? I would love to see that. I would love to see that. You know what's been happening to us in like in our backyard is that hummingbirds. Now I know that hummingbirds are like everywhere and they're always all over the place, but a couple of years ago, and my husband's not into this whole stuff that I do, right? He was sitting outside and he was just sitting there by himself, I guess, or whatever. And all of a sudden, this baby hummingbird lands right on top of him.
Oh, I love that.
My gosh. And I was like, no way. And so my daughter and I, we creep outside and we're watching it. And I'm just like, that, like to me, like that was a huge sign. Like, when was the last time a hummingbird don't land on you?
Right,
They
exactly.
don't.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Oh my God, oh my God. And he was like, oh, but it's just so sweet. And he started petting him. I'm
Oh,
like, oh my God,
that's
how do you like
awesome.
petting a, who pets a hummingbird? Like,
That's
seriously.
fabulous. Oh my
So
gosh, I love that.
I
I
like
love
to
that.
say, I love to say that he's connected. He just doesn't acknowledge it yet.
He is. He definitely is. Well, to be with you, he has to be, I think,
Right.
right?
He's, yeah, to some degree anyway, right? So Hill, high Hill. So I'm assuming it's Hillary, sees hawks and eagles.
Oh, I love that.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then Beck said she sees squirrels. She has a squirrel
Squirrels.
tattoo.
Oh,
Ooh, I like that.
I love that. Yeah. And knowing I love that when people see a lot of things over and over again. I mean, hawk and eagle, they're both sort of like that east energy, you know, time to soar, time to go to a higher perspective to kind of see what else what else we're just see, you know, not seeing with our little tunnel vision or whatever. Squirrel, I love. It's like being playful. It's, you know, taking time. Well, it's taking time to do your chores and stuff as well. But, you know, I think that's really neat. And knowing that people have, I like animals because people have their own personal connections to them, right? Yeah. And the thing that I didn't know, I learned from one of our friends at Evolve Me. I heard that there was, when there's an animal that we're fearful of, it's somebody in our shadow. It's something in our shadow. And it's, yeah, it's really interesting because I was having dreams about the spiders and he was, you know, I was telling him, we're having this conversation and he was saying, so what did you learn from that? And I did. It was all about balance. It was all about that safety and that balance. And I would catch myself. So I don't know. Do you have any animals that are like off?
I do. And I'm going to tell you mine in just 1 second, but he sees white butterflies.
Oh my gosh. I've never seen a white butterfly.
That's got to be kind of rare. Don't you think that's rare?
It has to be. Yes. And Cheller, hopefully, you know, this white is so powerful, right? It's so symbolic. I think every like culture probably has something about white, but the butterfly is transformation, right? That's so cool.
I think so. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then Barbara says, I will miss the ghost animals in my dad's backyard. So that's kind of
ghost animals.
Cool. And then I can't pronounce what that person's name is, but she sees seagulls and crows.
Oh,
that's kind of fun too.
That is.
And then we've got Kelsey saying, I love seeing eagles and hawks. It gives me strength, but turkey vultures are not a good vibe.
They are a very good vibe. They are my people. I got to tell you, I will say, so I know a lot of times people feel like it, so it is shadow. And I'm like totally good with that because I'm like, that's what I work in all the time with clients in counseling is shadow side. Yeah. But it is a good thing because they keep the ecosystem balanced and healthy. Yeah. And if you think about that, if we are sending love and compassion to our shadow side, it's no longer scary. It's no longer toxic. It's no longer going to get E. coli into a coyote or something. I don't know what the, bacteria would be. But, you know, it's just something to think about. So when you think about not a good vibe, you know, what does that mean, right? Yeah. Is there something that's scary to look at, you know, in the shadow? I don't know.
So just to follow back up, Cheller said it's her sister that she never met. She died before she was born. So isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
I mean, it's not cool, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Like butterfly, you know, kind of thing. So that's kind of neat. Okay. And then Debbie says, all of the neighborhood cats come to my front porch and backyard to hang out. Most have homes, but will still close to sleep. I think that was wrong, but okay. For a few nights and sometimes more permanently, my good friend neighbor's cat seems to have taken up residence here. That's hilarious. That was so cute.
Nothing wrong with being a cat lady. And that's independence. And then, so that's a good thing.
And then Debbie finished and said, oh, and crows too. I say hello to them whenever I see them and try to carry peanuts in the car.
Oh, I love that.
And then Beck says, turkey vultures are the cleaners. They are also pretty chill. I have seen a group give space when a seagull wants to eat a fish on the beach.
Aww.
Yikes. Yeah. Oh, choose is what she meant. Okay. Got it. Okay. So let me tell you my biggest fear. And I literally had a dream last night because I watched a movie yesterday and there were snakes.
Oh,
I am petrified of snakes. Petrified. Like I'm not scared of dying. Right. Right. It's so stupid because I'm not scared of dying. I'm not scared of much, but snakes, I don't know what it is. I do not know what it is. It petrifies me.
I'm like, ooh, off camera, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Because the funny thing is like Kundalini energy, snake, transformation, snake, right?
Something really? That's close. Now that's interesting because I am, I'm attuned Kundalini Reiki. So transformation. Oh, thanks, Debbie. Debbie puts pictures of a snake up. Thanks so much. There. Look at that.
Oh, geez.
Now I'm going to get all these messages.
Yes, you're going to get all sorts of mail too, I'm sure. Yeah, no, it's interesting though. And what is that message there, right? Because I really had to think about like, what is me and spider? And the funny, I mean, it's not ha-ha funny. You do not have to have a pet snake. But the funny thing is I thought, okay, I'm going to try to befriend this garden spider that was gigantic and not in my garden. And I thought every day I'll say hi to her. Every day I'll just say hi to her. And I actually felt less anxious and with the spider. So I was doing my own form of desensitization to that. But it was funny. It was so funny because I was starting like, oh, what else? I have a very like, I need to consume information. So I'm like, oh, I wonder how long they live. I wonder how many babies they have. I wonder this. I wonder that, right? And so I sort of went down a little rabbit hole with that, but it was really interesting because I really had to think about what was that, right? What was the thing that I was really most afraid of? And obviously that spider's not going to kill me, but some snakes will, right? But it's like interesting to see like where is that energy, right? Where is that in my shadow, or what does that represent for me? Because that's one that to me, I mean, that's like South energy. That's really important energy. So yeah, that's interesting.
It is interesting. And then Cheller says scorpions give her panic attacks, give
I
me
would
panic
have one if I
attacks.
saw one in real life.
And then she says, my husband is a Scorpio.
That's funny.
That is hilarious. Oh my gosh.
That
And there
just
you
shows
have
you
it.
the universe has a good sense of humor,
I
right? I
know.
mean,
Exactly. So while you were talking about the spider and how you would say hello to it, and I was imagining myself like, okay, what could I do to like get over my fear of snakes? Okay, I could go and hold a snake. I don't know if you saw me shiver. I just don't think I could do that.
I wouldn't recommend that. I re honestly wouldn't.
I
But you can think about the energy of it, right? You can think about the energy. And when you uncoil your kundalini, how do you imagine it? Do you not imagine it as a snake uncoiling?
No.
Really?
I don't work too much with it anymore. I
Okay.
used to, but what I would just do is I would it didn't involve an animal at all, actually. I would just
Interesting. Okay.
imagine it rising and like the white. I just, it's about white stuff.
Interesting. Okay.
So that was how I used to do that, but interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, what are you gonna do? Does anybody have any questions for Mary? My guest tonight, you guys, is holistic therapist, Usui Reiki master practitioner, teacher, intuitive life coach, and student shamanic practitioner. Her name is Mary Madsen Heskin. So I'm super excited. So if anybody has any questions for her, please let us know, and we will do that. Hillary is saying, can you please explain the directions you were mentioning, east, south,
Oh.
energy, all of that kind of stuff? And you know what?
Oh.
That's actually an interesting question because that's relating to the shamanic.
It is.
So yeah,
Sorry. Yes.
there you go.
It
My
is.
question for later.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, so depending on when you think, well, I don't know if you think of a medicine wheel, but if you did, it's sort of broken into four. It's like four different directions, right? And we think about like the cardinal directions that we all know. And I think in my world growing up, we started at north, east, south, and west, right? And that's not how, that's not how. Now, not everyone does it the same way. But if you want to think about it, I know everybody has their own like spin on it, their own take, their own stories, their own traditions. So this is not the end all be all. This, if somebody is trained in a different way, they may say, no, that's not mine. But the way that I was trained is the East is sort of, well, let's not start there. We'll start in the south. So if you think about the two animals that are in the south, for me, at least the way that I was trained, again, there's can be multiple ways, are snake, which we just talked about, and also deer, which is fabulous. I can't turn, oh, I could turn my camera on, but deer is the actual, so stag is the energy of my business. And I'm working with Doe Energy right now because, yeah. So when you think about the freshness, the newness, what you want to create, what you want to change, what you want to transform, it's sort of a vulnerable place for you. But there's kind of that hope of learning and growing and moving, right? And then you can kind of move up to, so this is the part that everybody's like, ooh, no, scary, I don't want to, is West Shadow. So it could be Jaguar, Panther. For, I don't know what other people have there. Those are just the ones that I usually work with. I guess you could have Vulture there as well. Cause I actually have, well, it's a whole nother story, but Vulture can be there too. So this is really like, our unconscious, our shadow side, like I said, things that we're hoping to, hopefully we're going to make peace with them. Hopefully we're going to find love and compassion for that side of ourselves. It's when people talk about going into their shadow side, right? You're going into that pain place. You're seeing and witnessing the pain. Sometimes that can be a stuck place. You could be in that for a while. Sometimes you move through it. Sometimes it's just like, I'm visiting. I'm just here for a moment, right? And then I move on. And then if you think about if we move through that, if we reconcile whatever that conflict was, whatever that pain was, if we're able to reconcile that, we kind of move up to the north. And this can be hummingbird, and this is also buffalo. Yeah. And this is actually a couple different things, but this can be it's basically death and rebirth, right? And so you have that ending, you have that completion, and then you have you get to tap into abundance, basically. And then East is, for me, it's hawk and eagle. And it can also be condor, I think, for some people.
Oh.
This is where we kind of take off and fly. This is giving us higher perspective. Oh, this is joy. This is spiritual growth. This is a lot of great things. So you can sort of see moving through that within your life. You can see little periods of time where you go through that. And so thinking about like where people are at, you know, when I was in school, we talked a lot about developmental milestones, where people were at, if they had mastered something, if they hadn't, if they were stuck somewhere. And so this is just another way, another template of looking at where people are at and what they need to do to move through that. And so it's interesting. I know a lot of people that work with archangels. Archangels have directions as well. So besides those four directions, we also obviously have below us, we have Mother Earth, and then we have the sky. We have grandfather sun and grandmother moon, and then, you know, the universe, all that is or whatever. But then also with the archangels, they have the directions as well. And then they have, you know, earth and then universe as well. So a lot of different, I don't know what you want to call that. A lot of different samenesses. I don't know what the word would be. There's a lot of similarities and connections. Yeah.
Right.
Between, you know, thoughts. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating. And that's, I'm going to say this wrong, but that's part of the shamanistic culture teachings.
The earth. Yeah. So I just say like the earth based, but yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And it kind of depends if it's North American or South American. I feel like they have different ones. And then within that, depending on, someone's lineage, I don't have lineage, but depending on someone's lineage, they might work in different ways. They might not start in the South. They might start, you know, wherever. Yeah. Well, East would be the other one, but
East. Yeah. Ooh, interesting. I have a medicine wheel in my backyard. I have cause there's a compass on our iPhones, right? So I put a big old rock right in the center. And then I figured out exactly where East was. And you always have to enter the circle at the East. I think that's correct.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's right. And so I have a big rock, you know, in the East, and then South. It's cool. It's really, really cool. And can't go out there right now because it's raining. We actually are getting rain in Southern California, so I can't be doing that, right? So Scheller has a question. Mary, how can we better lean into the quiet times from spirit, times of shedding? How can we better lean into that? That's a great question, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I feel like so many of us are at that point, and not to discount what men, I'm sure you're going through it as well, but I feel like I'm hearing it more from women that they're sort of going through this point where they're feeling almost stuck. They're feeling like they're not sure how to break through. And I'm going to say something and you're going to be like, I don't know what you're saying. You've got to send yourself love and compassion. You've got to meet yourself where you're at. Yeah. So if you want to think about practical steps, it's self-care. Yeah. So, you know, and I know sometimes when I tell people, like, you have to get into a practice of self-care, you have to have a consistent routine for self-care. You know, I get a lot of like, oh, I am going to get my nails done. That's not what I mean. I don't mean going to get a fancy coffee, although those could be things, right? Those definitely could be things. But it's like creating a morning ritual for yourself so you're ready to start the day where you feel really grounded. Ending your day where you can release everything, all the stresses, all the worries, all the fears, so you can have a restful night of sleep. You know, having moments of quiet, having moments where you're giving yourself affirming thoughts or you're really supporting whatever your need is. You're taking time to acknowledge what your needs are and are able to verbalize them. I know sometimes we can't verbalize them to people that don't want to hear, don't want to support, don't want to help. And so finding those safe people, right? Finding those people that are going to be there for you and will listen to what you have to say or need to say, right? I want those people in your life to be the people that see you and witness you right where you're at. And I think that is kind of like the simple practices. There's so many different strategies for self-care, but it really comes back to, like, I've got to go back to the basics. And one of them is love and compassion for yourself, self-care, self-kindness. Mm-hmm. And when we just kind of pause everything else, we just take a step back from the pushing or the forcing of, like, I can't get that message from spirit, or my intuition's offline, or what, you know, whatever it is, or I can't manifest that thing, right? Stop pushing. Take a step back and just go within and just take care of yourself. Just nurture yourself. And this is if you're in, well, Teller is, but anybody that's, you know, here from the Northern Hemisphere, we are in winter right now. This is our time to nurture and nourish ourselves. So when it feels like, you know, I always say, like, I tap a microphone, is this thing on, right? Because it feels like you're disconnected sometimes. We get that, right?
Yeah.
Or we pull a card and we're like, what does that even mean? Like, just take a break, move away from it, and just go back to yourself. So for practical, I would say maybe self-care. I don't know. Do you have anything else, Lori, that you think is helpful?
You know what? I loved what you said about, you know, loving yourself.
Yeah.
Because we aren't conditioned. This is just my opinion, but we aren't conditioned to love ourselves. We're conditioned to, you know, put everybody else before us, especially as women. I hate to say it, but, you know, we're conditioned to care about making sure everybody else's needs are taken care of except for our own.
Yes.
And so when you say love yourself, loving yourself might mean saying no.
Yes.
You know, loving yourself could mean, like, instead of going to that party that everybody is in, your brother is going to, saying, no, it's all good. I'm going to, like, do my own thing tonight. I mean, it could be that. It could be something completely different, but, you know, the self-love is so important, and it sounds, you know, it's okay to care about yourself first. It's okay to do that. You know, my theory of it, you know,
totally.
we can't love other people, and we can't help other people, especially light workers, right? We can't help other people if we're not going to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's just who I believe, you know, that's just how I believe. So Barbara wrote, I miss the morning meditation with you. I used to do morning meditations every weekday morning. Oh my God. I don't know how I got up that early, but morning meditations at like 7 a.m. on Insight Timer.
Oh, wow. That's early. Like, yep.
And I did it all through COVID. And then, and it's so funny because talking about intuition and knowing, right? Mm-hmm. I knew I was supposed to stop. Like I would, I got to my, and this is where spirit will kick you in the butt if you don't listen, right?
Yes.
So I would get up and I would like, I would force myself to get up. And then this is towards the end, obviously. And I would force myself to get up and go in here and do the live. And they just didn't feel authentic. I didn't say it like that, but it didn't feel authentic anymore. And so finally I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stop doing this because it's not, if it's not authentic to me, it's not going to be taken authentic by for yes. anybody else, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, and you know what I got to say, part of that is that whole self-care. I yes. knew I needed to get more sleep, you know,
yes.
I was having to get up at like 6 yeah. in the morning. Oh my God. Cause you know, you can't go live. You can't go live without having a cup of coffee or something first, right? So, anyway, that was my thing. Yeah. Okay, so here's my question to you. So, you know, we were talking before about the whole snake thing, and I'm not even going to say the word anymore, right? Because it wigs me out, right? So it's part of that shadow self. How would you suggest that someone get in touch with a shadow side? And it's so interesting that the shadow selves keep coming up lately in like, not just for me, but for so many people. Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating, you know?
This, so again, winter, this is the time for us to go back. Yeah. To kind of reconcile that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it probably is coming up for a lot of people. It definitely has come up for a lot of our new moons and our full moons where it's like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm getting that message right. again and again. Right.
Yeah.
So I would say to work with a practitioner, because sometimes if we're opening up a can of worms, if we're trying to explore, something that feels too scary, we all have little T's in our life, little traumas, and then we have big T traumas. Mm-hmm. And if our big T traumas are in shadow, we don't want to be able to work with that all by ourselves because we put it over there because we couldn't deal with it. We didn't want to deal with it. We had to stuff it away. And so if you can bring it to somebody that can help you work through that, either somebody like a therapist that's trained trauma-informed therapist, somebody that if they are like a shaman or maybe a practitioner who works with shadow, I wouldn't probably just go to anybody that you find and say like, oh, they're an energy worker, or, you know, I would want to make sure that they know about trauma, because shadow usually is trauma. Like I said, it's either our little T's or our big T's that are residing there, or a combination of them both. And they can be stuff that has been there for a while for us, right? It can be other stuff that crops up in our life, but it can be stuff that's been there for a little bit. So I always encourage people to work with a practitioner, so you can explore that safely. And as things come up, as things are processed, in that moment, you can get a strategy. In that moment, you can find, how do I heal this, or how do I manage this in the rest of my, you know, waking hours or whatever. I think that's so important. I worked with a shaman that, that was his shtick, so to speak. And I loved it because I felt really confident that I could refer my clients to him as well, where he would really hold that safe container for them and could really give them some strategies of like, this is what you can do going forward. And obviously it's been my work for a long time with therapy. Yeah. And so, you know, talking to a therapist about it, even if they don't understand shadow, well, if they're Jungian analysts, they will, because that's all Carl Jung, but you know, they'll be able to work with somebody and help them through that. If you feel like it's probably more of my little T's than my big T traumas, then that's something that you can probably, you know, process yourself as well. But, just to err on the side of caution.
But I think it seems to me that like maybe meditation could, you know, like setting an intention for me, for like the smaller situations, you know? It's like maybe setting an intention and then meditating on it.
Yeah. If it's like, a little, if you feel like it's not one of the big,
if it's like something big and dramatic, that would be, but
if it's something, I mean, here's a great example, right? And I already told Lori about this. So she's gonna be like, yeah, I just heard this. I had pulled this card yesterday for a meditation that I was gonna do, and I just pulled it again today. Yeah, it was yesterday. I had to think about that. Well, that Sunday was yesterday, right? And it's all about reclaiming your personal power. And if it's something like this, where it feels like I've been compromising myself in ways that doesn't make me feel comfortable, or communication, I haven't been able to speak something, I haven't been able to use my voice or, speak my truth, or if it feels like, there's something that I've been working on, I want to be brave, or I want to try something new, like that sort of thing, that is definitely something that you can set an intention on, meditate on, journal on, see what shows up in your life for support. I think one of the things that I always forget about, resist, is that we always are co-creating, right? And so we always have support of whoever is available, whoever, our guides, our guardians, whoever. So I think, yeah, setting that intention, you can meditate, you can create something around that for yourself in whatever way works, right? You can release that to the universe. You can. If you can safely burn stuff, you can write it down, burn it, and throw it away, right? You can do a variety of different things. But yeah, the little ones that aren't that little, right? I would say, if you feel like you're wanting to reclaim your power, it's probably still something that feels a little big.
I mean, because to be honest with you, this is going to sound crazy. Maybe I'm just not ready to deal with it yet, but I don't care that I'm like petrified of snakes. Like, it doesn't. Like, I don't care. Like, it's not something I want to work on because I don't care. You know what I mean? It's like, in a perfect world, I will never see a snake again, you know?
There you
So, I
go.
mean, it's, unless the movie I was watching yesterday, they were in Australia.
There you
And
go.
the reason why, and I know exactly why I dreamt about it, because the guy was he like pulled the sleeping bag back. He pulled the sleeping bag back because they were camping outside and there was a snake. And I was like, oh, that was my big thing,
That planted the seed.
I
Yeah,
know.
there's nothing that says that you have to work through all of shadow all the time, right? And again, kind of trusting your intuition and trusting your inner knowing of like, this isn't something that I feel like is holding me back in my life, so I don't have to work through it. But the other stuff, that we have, especially this reclaiming personal power, right? That stuff, yeah, we probably do want to work on. Choice. You always
So,
have choice.
yeah, that's true. We do have choices, and you can pick and choose what is important to you at any given time, Okay, so Mary, how can people find you?
You can find me under my name on Insight Timer. And then also my website is Rivers, it's long, riversjourneywellness.com, and everything is there. So if you want just a little bit of information, you want some resources, you want to meet with me, whatever you want to do, that's where you go, Rivers Journey Wellness. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and they're all Rivers Journey Wellness, except for
Rivers
Facebook
Journey
is,
Wellness. See, it's okay if they're long if it's all spelled out the right way.
It's no goofy spellings, or at least I don't think
So I love that. Oh my gosh. Mary, this hour just like totally flew
Flew
by. I
by.
mean,
I
you
know.
are such a bright light. I'm like,
Oh,
I
thanks.
just I'm so honored that you would stay up late and talk to me. Because you
For you,
guys,
I
it's like late where she is.
And sadly, in my old age, 9 o'clock my time is a nice time to be in pajamas and in bed. So,
Exactly. So I really appreciate you taking the time
Oh,
because I really
absolutely.
wanted you on because you do so many different things and
Oh.
you have so many different tools that you can work with and so much information.
Oh,
For
thank you.
to give to the rest of us. So I really appreciate you coming and being here with us. So thank you
Absolutely.
so much.
Absolutely.
And
Thank you
thank
for
you
having me.
everybody for being here. I'm so honored to have you here with me tonight, Mary. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
you for having me.
Of course, of course. And everybody have a beautiful evening and namaste, and we'll see you next week.